Hello there, and welcome back to the Natalie and Dennis
Show
Podcast. What? That's how we say. Gosh, we can't get it right.
It felt very rushed by your part.
I said, "Hi, welcome back to the Natalie and
Dennis," and then you said my part.
Did I? Do you want to start over?
No, or is
that
great? No.
Happy Friday, you guys. Welcome back to the podcast. It seems like it doesn't matter how many times we do that. We'll never get it
Three
right.
Three seasons of getting it wrong.
Literally. Why is it so difficult? How are you?
I sometimes feel like the beginning of the show reflects how we feel.
Oh, I like that.
And you stumbled in and said my part.
You know, I feel a little rushed today. I'm not going to lie, because it's 11. We usually record this at 10-ish, right? So you're so right. I do feel a little bit
rushed. I would say we're still within time frame.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's my second coffee. My foot's been swollen all week. What did I tell you guys? Okay. We had our first offline humans event last week, and I just so happened to wear some heels, and how embarrassing, but my foot got messed up from it. Yeah. And this is 30s.
So Natalie's been suffering from some really bad plantar fasciitis. You can barely walk in the morning. Your first step is really terrible.
Yeah, I scream.
And so I've suffered from plantar fasciitis for a long time. Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny? I feel like guys complain of pain, and I might be wrong. You guys can all say, but I feel women don't believe the pain that we complain about as a man.
I agree. I am that way. I feel like, for example, you guys, whenever you have to pee, it's like so urgent. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to piss myself. Yes. And I'm sort of like, as girls, our bladder gets full with this much and we can still sustain it. I think you've mentioned before that
we feel different things.
It's part of like your biological body. You guys have to like go right away.
Yeah. Like I can be fine. And then all of a sudden I got to go.
But I'm you're like, not the only guy. So many guys are like, oh my God, I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
like,
right, it's a dude thing.
And it just feels like such a kid like thing. I'm like, why are you complaining?
Like I feel like women can go to the bathroom at any moment because you always got to go.
Am I wrong? Go to the bathroom at every moment. What do you mean?
Yeah, like if you just, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. Like you could go if you wanted to.
No, not for me.
They're all agreeing.
Yeah, I don't get it. Wait, okay, so tell me, am I not a woman? What's going on, guys?
I could pee at any moment. I always have to pee, really? To be honest.
I was going to say, I could even go right now if you really need me.
Well, you know, okay, I was thinking how, like, when you go to the doctors and they make you pee, it's like it doesn't come out. And it's just like, what's going on? I learned a trick.
Really? What is it?
You start doing math. And it just instantly works. And let me tell you, I know this works because I'm a shy peer. So like whenever I go to work or whatnot and, you know, the stalls, also let's talk about the stalls here in America. Like, why is there always that random big ass gap that somebody standing outside could literally watch you through?
Yeah.
I'm going off on a tangent, but today we are talking about work.
We're talking about work.
What about work?
All right. So I had like this out of body experience like 2 days ago. It was like 10:30 at night, you were asleep and I was packing.
At 10:30, I was asleep?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been going to sleep early, huh?
So I was just down there packing and I had like 30 more orders to go. Mm-hmm. And I was just going. I'm like, why am I doing this? Mm. You know, like who forced this upon me? And in reality, no one really did. It's the thing I signed up for, the thing that we created. But, you know, and I hope that some of you can relate, and this episode might be one that a lot of you might not relate to. And it's great because it can start a conversation and we can all feel how the other one is feeling. But as small business owners, I feel like I never clock out. Like you could technically work as much or as little as you want and get as much out of it, you know, depending on how much effort you put into it.
Mm-hmm. I'm scared for this episode in particular because I do think that when you complain about your work as somebody that is self-employed, other people tend to judge you on it because I've seen it happen to other creators, business owners, and I'm a little nervous for this one.
But overall, it's just as the title suggests, I don't know if the title is going to stay the same as I had it planned, but it is escaping the 9-to-5 to go and work a 24/7. And yeah, it feels like that. Mm-hmm. It feels like I'm constantly checking my phone to check, you know, emails for support or people reaching out or packing, or there's always something that I can fill up the time with. And even when things get calm, I'm like, what else can I do now?
Do you think it's because it's your business, so you're putting in everything into it?
Yeah.
Or do you think that maybe, because I've also dabbled with this, like, I don't know, I've been watching Shark Tank a lot recently, and a lot of these smaller business owners go in with really big problems, such as logistics, manufacturing issues, but mainly it's manpower. You're currently doing a lot of different jobs, right?
Yeah.
And so do you think that if you were able to split yourself into three people, you would work a little bit less?
No.
Right? More. So that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's, that's not really the issue. The issue is, I think as a business owner, you are always striving. I mean,
One unrealistic thing that I was striving for was getting the TikTok shop to 5.0 rating, you know?
Wait, you said unrealistic. Tell me why. Because I've been saying that from the beginning.
Because it's having less than 24-hour shipping rates. It's like, it's insane. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And so like an order comes in, like, let's say I'm gaming on Xbox or whatever, and it's 11 at night and an order comes in, I'll stop playing and I'll go down and I'll pack it. Cause I know that in the morning I need to take it and it needs to be ready. Right. So I don't want the morning to come and any orders be there, even if it was from 1 a.m. from the previous day. Mm-hmm. So like they're going out immediately. Like no one ships 8 hours after the order comes in. Like that's ridiculous.
But I don't know if we should celebrate that because it feels so wrong, but I do kind of want to celebrate it because you took us from a 3 point
whatever
something to now we're at what?
4.8
shop. A 5 is perfect, guys.
We're higher right now than 95% of
so I think that deserves a round of applause for Dennis for staying up late packing but, orders.
But what are the benefits of it, honestly?
Okay, so now you're really feeling it.
Yeah.
I told you it was unsustainable.
But why do we pursue that kind of stuff, you know?
Do you think it's in your DNA?
I think it's just the desire to succeed.
But that's what I'm curious. Do you feel like everybody has that? Is it something that's acquired?
No.
So it's in your DNA?
There's businesses that coast. They have an order and they're like, they'll sit on it for 2 days and be like, they can wait.
No, but it's not about you packing things. It's about you wanting excellence. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, yes, I understand your question. I'm giving an example of someone who was content with just making people wait, you know? Mm-hmm. But overall, I think we should all strive for excellence in whatever we do.
Not everybody feels that way.
Are people okay with being mediocre?
Yeah, I think so.
Why would someone be okay with being mediocre?
Because sometimes being too excellent, there's a lot of trade-offs. Mm-hmm. There's sacrifices. Time?
Like today's episode?
Everything. There's sacrifices about everything. You know, like instead of you being at 10:30, maybe watching a movie with me, you're packing, you know, you're like, I don't know if this is healthy. Let's be honest. I'm just speaking our truth. This is where we're at right now with the business. We're lucky that it's growing. We're lucky that we're also getting orders. But yeah, we're realizing, there are a lot of trade-offs and sacrifices we're having to sort of dabble into.
What is that other side of things? I think my first job was kind of like this small business thing. Mm-hmm. I never experienced a job where I was under someone and just simply received a check and like just did what they told me to do. You know, it was always like, do as much as you want, film as much as you want, upload as much as you want, pack, create products, do this. Like I've never experienced that other side of things. You did a little bit at Valencia. You worked at Valencia. Yeah, how was that?
But well, Valencia was the easiest job ever. Literally. Like I just planned events. I was a student leader. The hardest thing I probably had to do was give tours, but that's because I was shy and I was like, do I really have to do this to my boss? And he was like, yeah, you do. I would say that I wish I had had more jobs because I wish I had been able to sort of look at what is a great boss? What don't I like about this boss? How can I be a better boss? What are things in a work environment that are good? What are things that are not good? Like all of that. I never felt like I got that experience. Matter of fact, I still sometimes feel like I want to go and work another job just to see what that is like. Because I'm having to step in the shoes of like an entrepreneur, a CEO, somebody that doesn't always have it figured out. But you have people that are like, hey, what should we do next?
That was actually the question I had. It was, do entrepreneurs ever truly clock out?
I don't think so, personally.
It's weird because I'm like doing something fun. Well, in my mind is fun, like at the gym. And I'll be like, you know, I could really do that change on the website. You know, I can really maybe do that and make the picture better. Or it's like, but it sneaks in. It's sure. Like, I don't pursue the thought. It kind of like, enters the brain, or when we're running, for example, I was, Natalie, our intern, was doing a half marathon. I was like, you got to space out. You got to think of something else. To me, I actually, when I run, sometimes I think of work. And so I'm problem solving things from work while I run. And that causes me to not realize I'm running. And it's kind of sad.
Okay. So that's interesting, right? You're saying that it's sad and you're sort of like, I don't know how realistic this is. You're sort of,
but I like it.
Okay. And
it's,
that's okay.
It's like a little bit of both. No.
But the reality is it's okay for you to feel that way. What I just want to debate on is I've been on the other end where I got so burnt out with YouTube, right? This was at the time when we had 3 different channels. We were posting twice a week on each channel. We went on tour. We had our merchandise. We had a podcast. Like, we were doing everything, and we were traveling to LA every 2 weeks, literally. Time zones messed up, right? I remember after getting very burnt out, the first piece of advice that I got was just relax. Just relax. Just stop doing anything. Right. I took my first vacation after 5 years. We went to Colombia for like a month. Every single day, I felt like I was detoxing, almost like how a drug addict feels, where it's like, I need to work. Like, I need to be doing something, you know, and it'd be like my mom or your mom, like giving us food, being like, just relax, just do this. I did that for like 2 years, and not. Like, I just went back, right? But my mentality changed of, let me just relax. Mm-hmm. But I was always itching. So I don't like that feeling. For me, I just recognize this is the way that I am. I like to work. And there's just trade-offs. And I'm okay with that. Like, I finally have accepted that this is just the way that it is. Okay. I feel like you suffer a little bit less that way, too.
I have some really good questions coming up, but I did want to ask the interns and Francelli, specifically, how many jobs have each of you worked and how has your experience been at your jobs?
I love that.
I've worked three jobs. I've worked at a Chick-fil-A. I was a server at a country club, and now I'm a barista. And I don't know. I've definitely gotten a lot of experience. Like, Chick-fil-A taught me how to like have like that customer service, my pleasure. I kind of am losing it a little bit, not to lie. I got to work for some cool people in the country club, and it's just, I don't know, it's just like cool experiences. But I'm trying to, I don't know, I'm trying to get a corporate job.
Really? Eventually. Corporate? Okay. Yeah.
How often would you think of work when you left work?
When I was like being like when I'm barista and like all that stuff, not at all. But I think about this internship a lot outside of here. I'm like trying to think of ideas all the time. Yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah. So if I had a more creative job, I feel like I'd be thinking about it all the time, because I'm always thinking about this internship and like ideas and stuff. But like, I don't think about like coffee and I'm like out.
Interesting.
I've had 2 jobs, but at the same hotel. So one was like a pool attendant outside. So like, I would help people with like the water slide and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then now I'm like a hostess / like I help out in the lobby, with like beverages and things like that. I think of work a lot though, outside of work. Now my schedule isn't as busy as before, so not as much, but when I was like part-time or full-time, I thought about it all the time and how stressful, like the environment was. But I feel a lot better that I'm not working as much, because it was really stressful.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions in regards to that?
No, I'm just sort of thinking and taking everything in, because I wish I had more work experience where it wasn't just my own job.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And this is coming from someone who, like I said, hasn't worked for someone else. What the level of stress that you were experiencing, was it because you, let me think about how to phrase this. Where was the stress stemming from? Was it from like interacting with people?
I was actually going to say that's, I think, where a lot of it comes from. Okay. Is the interaction with people, not just guests, but the fact that you have a big team of coworkers and things like that. I think that's a big difference between kind of like this creative realm that you guys have and like the typical 9-to-5 job, that you deal with a lot of different personalities, different ages of people, things like that. And that's what gets like,
what do you ever think about the success of the hotel where you worked at?
In a way, like in the sense of like, I want to do the right thing so that I don't get in trouble.
Okay.
But I never felt like, oh, you know, I got to make sure that I upsell this so that the hotel can, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. What about you, Francine? How's it going for you?
I've had like 3 jobs, I think. Mm. The last one was mostly, remote. So it was hybrid. Sometimes I would have to go and sometimes I didn't have to go. And then this one, I try not to think about work after work because it kind of like stresses me out. It has happened lately. I think I've been lately more stressed with work. So sometimes I'm even like having trouble to sleep because I'm stressed.
About this work here?
Yeah, which is something I don't like.
Wait, tell me, what stresses you out? Or is it just something you want to keep personal? Because obviously we can have those barriers.
No, it was just like a lot of new things, like the book party we had. Then like when we have the interns, it's like more responsibility. Like, because before, if I didn't have something in time, it's like, okay, it's just a post. Like I can post it tomorrow or something. Mm-hmm. But now with the interns, I feel like more, like you're more committed to something because you have to like tell others what to do. So sometimes I'm stressed about that. Like, what am I going to tell them? How is this going to be? Like all that. I don't remember what else, but I remember sometimes I'm like really stressed out and sometimes I even have trouble to go to bed, like to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. But it's something I really try to actually clock out. Like it's literally 5 and I'm like, okay, yeah. Like you need to think about other stuff because
it's so important.
I feel like I would get like burnout if I don't do that.
It's so important. One thing I do want to say is I have appreciated that more people are understanding that, like even right now, I guess if somebody was kind of looking at us, they'd be like, oh my God, that's so easy. Like, cool. They've just done a post, but this takes like a whole team to do everything that we're seeing, from the podcast to the products to like literally everything, right? And I know I've talked to Natalie and Francetti about their own content creation journey because they also post. And you guys have mentioned like, yeah, it takes a lot of time to be able to even like a quick get ready with me that I thought was so quick isn't so quick. So I do think there's something about business that at times is really glorified and is almost seen to be very simple. But it's not always.
As we were speaking, there were a couple things that were entering my mind. And I was like, okay, there's such a thing as quiet quitting, which we all know about. And I feel like quiet quitting tends to happen when there's a lack of attachment to the job. And what I mean by that is like, if you really don't feel anything, any affinity towards what you're doing, you will start to quietly quit. Like,
wait, tell me about this. What do you mean?
Have you ever heard of quiet quitting?
Yeah, I think I've done it many times in my life, actually.
Well, explain quiet quitting to me.
So I was a part of a brain trust group where it was all these YouTuber guys. Mm-hmm. I was the only female and I felt extremely not misunderstood, but I felt that what they were saying was different. Their advice was for a men demographic, not a female demographic. Mm-hmm. I started to sort of quit. To the point that I just didn't show up one day. That's so awful.
Yeah, no, what you define is quiet quitting, but in the sense of like a job is what I mean though. Like you just start to show up.
Less.
And no, equally, you still show up this, for your hours. But it's half-assed. Not even. You're just not going beyond what you could potentially be doing. Right. And so, I think it all comes down to the affinity that you have with your job, if you like it or not, if you want it to succeed. And I feel like a lot of people who experience most of the stress is managerial positions, right? Like Francelli was saying, she feels stress when she has to manage a project, do a thing, and it involves other people, right? I feel for a long time for us, it was just you and me. Would you ever feel like you had to manage me?
All the time.
That's interesting. Can you touch on that?
Well, I mean, I think that I had to create a standard. You know, you were my boyfriend at the time. Then it's like, now we got to work. You know, you have to present yourself a certain way to these companies. I think that it does discredit you a little bit when you say that you haven't had a job other than this, because I feel that you have had stressors to show up in a really great way for managers, brands, companies. Like you've had to be in meetings with certain people.
Yeah.
and making sure that they're happy with the money that they're giving us and that it's a good transaction.
Yeah. No. Well, okay. I don't want to also put myself down by saying, oh, I've only had one job. I feel like this job has gone through so many phases. It feels like I've had...
You've had so many jobs.
20 jobs.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like morphed and changed and it's become different things. And now it's like, I guess I'm packing and doing other things.
And your skills have grown so much. I mean, just think about on tour, right? You went as my supportive figure. Mm-hmm. And what did you end up doing?
Selling merch.
You sold merch. You were
at a booth. I never thought that I would be at a tour selling merch at a booth.
Uh-huh. You had to deal with customer service, angry moms being like, what do you mean? They don't have my daughter's size. I came here from so-and-so, you know,
awful.
What do you mean you guys sold out and this and that? You also, you had to deal with all the tech stuff, which is my moderator. Cause I didn't feel confident doing the presentation without me having my script there. So you've done a lot. You've done like lighting things and now podcasts and just all the things that you've done, you know?
You know, after work, there is always a way that work can leak in, but we always have chores, right? And so recently I've been getting frustrated and angry when I find that there's more I have to do after everything that I've done all day.
Isn't that life though? That's what I want to just kind of... say from this conversation, because you were also mentioning that as managers get the most stressed, I think employees also get the most, I think from whichever level you're getting stressed out, just truly, I think every job can be stressful.
No, 100%. I agree. But I'm saying managerial positions tend to be, people always know the managers as being angry all the time. I feel like
hopefully not.
I feel like a lot of managers tend to be angry or on the verge or edge of being like just flipping out and being mad.
I don't think that's a good manager.
I feel like a lot of managers take on the stress and responsibility of the team who might not be feeling it because they're not taking it on as their own.
It depends on the company, I think, and the culture.
Anybody have any input on what I just said?
I had a nightmare boss. Her name is Ramona. Ramona, she...
Not Haley. Okay. Wait, is that actually her name?
Yes, Miss Ramona Lapure. Like, she was at the country club, okay? And I understand you're working at a country club. We have some of the biggest people here having their weddings. But it was, like, comical how much she would yell at you. Even I'm very well-behaved at work.
Sure.
You know, like, a better babe than I am here. Yeah. But, yelling at you, saying you're, like, dumb, like, just verbally abusing you, really.
Oh, that's not right.
It's not, and it's really not. And she ended up getting fired for it.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's not a good manager, you know? That's not somebody that should be in that position.
Not at all.
I agree.
That's not a team player.
I think especially as a manager, you have to have a lot of emotional intelligence to be able to deal with so many things. It's almost like what you guys were saying with customer service. That's gotta be difficult. I mean, come on, right? We see things through an email where people act a certain way. And at the end of the day, kindness just goes such a long way. You just gotta be a kind person and understand that there's a real person behind that email. Mm-hmm. So,
Natalie, you got anything to say?
Real stuff.
I was gonna say, I had a manager who I think, not to like shit on her, but I think she had a really kind of like miserable life. Like she had a lot of like bad things kind of have happened to her in the past. And she just wore kind of like, I guess like misery on her face.
That's rough.
And she would take that out though on the employees. So there was this like big story, but basically I had applied for like a higher position and she had talked to me and she told me like, listen, and this is a woman who makes sense to the story, but she never wore makeup. She never like particularly like, I guess, dressed herself up for the position. And she told me like, if you want a position like this, you should probably wear more makeup. Like, look at the other girls.
God damn.
Yeah. More makeup. Not because I had worn some. You should probably wear more makeup. And it had become this big thing. And other people had told me like, listen, she's projecting. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's a big... No, being a manager, like, yes, you're a person outside of being a boss, right? But that has nothing to do with me the same way that, like, my experiences are not going to reflect how I treat you.
Did she ever apologize for that?
They had told her to apologize and she refused.
Because here's the thing too, right? Like, managers are real people. So at the end of the day, we, you know, What?
That's funny. It reminds me of like people are like, oh, teachers aren't real. And then you find a teacher out in the wild and you're like, wait, are you supposed to be at school?
Right. Like we all make mistakes, but so long as you can own up to it, you know, I've mentioned in the past, I was not a great boss before. I've mentioned that. And I apologize to those people. And
what defines a good manager? What is a good boss? What are some qualities of someone? Like, do you guys currently have good bosses or managers or whatever, if you want to share?
I just think it's someone who sets you up for success. Like, Natalie and Francelli are great internship bosses. And yeah, and I love my barista boss now just because she's sweet and she doesn't yell at me. And she gives me my space. And yeah.
So for you, it's being treated kindly.
Yeah, being treated 100%. Kindly and just making my work life easier.
If that makes sense. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, just being a supportive leader
pillar.
Yeah, exactly. I think so.
I would say kind of the same. I think what really gets it for me is like somebody who cares about you more than just you working for them.
Totally.
Yeah. Like if you like call out sick, then being like, hey, I heard you were sick, are you okay? Like things like that, like knowing that you value me,
that you're human.
Right, exactly. Outside of, oh well, you know. Next.
I agree.
I've always heard that people are against like calling everyone in at a workplace like family. Oh, we're family. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like culty. It's kind of weird.
It's like, I think it's quite boomer and millennial sometimes to do that. I don't know if I fully disagree with that or agree with it. Like I'm kind of on the fence. Mm. I understand why people are like, you shouldn't be called family. Family, you know, you tend to overextend yourself for family. Maybe that's not something that you should be doing at a workplace. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, honestly.
This is a whole topic in itself. Workplace friendships.
I do think there should be boundaries. I do think there should be boundaries. Like, for example, we worked with your cousin for some time, right? We worked with both your cousins for some time.
That is true.
Sometimes there wasn't boundaries. And I didn't like that.
None.
And that's very difficult. It's very, very difficult. I think you need boundaries. I do think you need boundaries at a workplace. So
anyways, going back to the chores, I had kind of briefly brought it up, but it does frustrate me when, sorry.
He's crying, God guys. Damn. This guy, I'm so emotional. No, that's a bit.
I'm still sick. I've been sick for the past
pretend
five
to cry
podcasts.
For the bit.
I wanted to add something before I didn't say about the jobs are like 9 to 5 and you have to clock out. There's jobs that are 9 to 5 and you still have to be like there after hours. Like in my previous job, it was from 9 to 6 and that was the only time that was my job supposedly. And sometimes they would just like send me a text or like after hours and they expect me to do stuff after hours.
See,
like
that's sometimes. Wrong.
So that's not wrong. Yeah, no, that's why like when I started working here I'm like, okay, yeah, like after 5 like sometimes Natalie and I we send each other messages but they're like TikToks or stuff like that. It's not work related.
Right I do think that's super important. I do. Handsome, there's a tissue right there in case you need it.
No, wait. I have a thought before I blow my nose or whatever.
Okay, and the thought just escapes.
Hustle culture.
Hustle culture.
Is that still active? Is that still a thing?
I think so. I think I see it everywhere on TikTok.
Still?
I think it's getting worse.
What does it look like to you?
I just working every day, trying to find a side hustle. I don't know, just getting your money up.
Mm-hmm. I think a good example of like hustle culture is that idea that people like I see this a lot on like kind of like men's TikTok where they say kind of like, oh yeah, go ahead, like take a day off, but now I'm one day ahead of you. Like things like that, you know? Oh yeah, go ahead.
That's so real.
Yeah, go ahead. Stay out of the gym. Like I'm one day stronger than you are. And the comments are like, oh man, like, you know, it's my rest day. Don't do that to me. Like things like that. But
yeah, I do believe in rest. I really do. I do think it's important. I do think you recharge. I was just going to, never mind, I'm not going to do that.
What are you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, God rested on the seventh day, so.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Period. It's no, honestly, I used to really overextend myself, but I believe there's also studies that show after a certain level of productivity, it kind of just
stagnates.
It does. So you need to be bored, recharge yourself in other ways, think of other things.
I do think hustle culture is a plague. I don't think it's good. I think it's unhealthy. I think it shames people who don't work hard enough. And I think it's ultra capitalistic. I think it's way too far to the right, where if you're not complacent, it kind of, it shames you, it makes you feel bad. The one day ahead. Yeah. But what if you didn't really get anything efficient done? Then you're not ahead. Like there's a balance to things. There's a lot of, sometimes when you think of a CEO, you're like, oh, they're working 8-9 jobs. Right. But how efficient are they at all that? There's a level of efficiency. Like you said, that like there's plateauing, there's only so much you can do in the day. So by us taking a weekend off, I feel like, cause we don't work weekends, and we've said that for a long time. Like we work 9 to 5. Oh, we don't work weekends. Like I do, we do like packing and like very simple stuff, but
yeah, we do.
Simple it's not, stuff. We don't create content on weekends.
That's true. That's helped us a lot in our life. I think
that's what exactly it's healthy.
Yeah. It's helped us in every element of our life. I think you come back more charged up.
Just because somebody on Instagram is doing a video on a Saturday on a day that we're resting doesn't mean that they're getting ahead.
Like, and that's another thing I think is important. Like, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. Totally. They say.
Yes.
And if I am sitting there looking at someone, for example, I had a friend, he was starting a podcast on YouTube, and he was asking me, Natalie, how did you do it? Like, how did you do it for two and a half years where I like posted a lot and I barely made, like, literally when I looked at how much I made, it was like enough to buy a sandwich. Like that was it. That was like striving, you know? And he was like, how did you do that? How did you keep going? And I was like, my situation was different. I was living at my parents. I wasn't paying rent. I was still in school. So I still had some time, you know. He's at a different level in life now. It's not to say it's not that it's ever too late, but you can't compare yourself to different people in their situation. I'll give you another example. I really look up to Emma Greed, right? She has this incredible podcast. And I remember I was looking at it and I was giving you inspiration for it. I was like, this is what we have to do. These are the angles. These are the posts. And you're like, Natalie, it's literally just us, like the team here, you know, for the podcast. Like we can't really do that. So I was trying to compare myself, being like, why are we not able to produce this much? Well, the reality is we don't have a stylist on set. We don't have, you know, two people taking actually we do. We have the girls, you know, but no, really it's like you have to work with what you have. And so I think that that's a big part of it.
Set.
This is our office.
This is like the film space.
But you know what? You make it work. That's how it goes.
It's pretty crammed though. Yeah. You know, like there is limitations.
But you make it work.
You brought up Shark Tank earlier in the show, and something about Shark Tank kind of stood out to me right now. Mm-hmm. And there was like this really interesting idea. And then the sharks asked the guys, like, is this the only thing you do, or do you have jobs? And they said, oh no, we have like jobs on the side. And then when I come home, I do this. And that kind of like was off-putting for the sharks.
They didn't like it. They want like you 100% that. In because that's the reality.
Yeah. But then the guys started to kind of like argue with them and say, hey,
how?
But like, I got to pay for my stuff. Like I got to live.
It's super
how
hard.
Am I just going to ditch my job to do this, which doesn't pay? And how am I going to sustain myself until it eventually does?
But here's what they said. They said, as an investor, we care about, is it going to make me money? Period. It's not about and that sounds so evil, right? To say they're basically saying, I don't care about your life. Is this going to make me money? That's what an investor is. They said, now if we're partners, that's different. Now I want to be like, okay, how are we going to make this work with another job, with your kids, with all of that stuff? But they're just investors. They're giving their money, their knowledge, their time. So it's just a different situation.
Overall, I want to kick it out to the viewer and say, hey, you know, what are your thoughts on this whole 9-to-5 concept? If you're a small business owner, how do you deal with managing time? You know, do you ever not think of work when you're out and about writing down ideas? There's people with those field notes in their back pocket. They're like, oh, I gotta write that down. I can't forget.
Mm-hmm. Is it a bad thing, or is it maybe not such a bad thing? Because you're working at the end of the day, you're working for yourself and you're creating something for you. So
I think overall we've grown a lot of experience in our job. We've learned how to balance ourselves. And at the same time, I feel like we've learned a lot of skills now that we're in our 30s, right? And so this leads us into our next section, which is, what are some skills that everyone should learn before they turn 30? Do you have any skill that pops up? I got one right now.
Go.
For me, it was definitely how to stay calm when everything goes wrong.
Oh, interesting. So like emotional intelligence?
Yeah.
How do you do that now? Do you feel like you're learning it or do you already know it?
I think it's kind of assessing, like stepping back and viewing everything and being like, okay, how can I start to build up from this kind of like turmoil that's going on, right? Like maybe something happened and you were depending on money for something and that didn't happen and it led to missing something. And then all of a sudden now you're like in this hole where you're in big trouble.
Mm-hmm. Right? So it's like finding solutions quick, like not dabbling too much, feeling it too much. You're just like, what's the solution?
Yeah. It's like that meme that little dog is like in the fire and he's like, oh, everything, I'm okay.
Everything's fine. No worries.
But in reality, yeah, it's being in the fire and being okay. And yeah. And not letting it consume you, you know, I feel like that's a really great thing to work on.
I have too much to say with this.
And you can say as many as you want, but let's stick to one and then we can move on to something else.
I mean, I think time management is a big one.
Really?
Yeah, I think it is. You just sort of like being real with what are your goals. And I think before I used to blame a lot of other things in my life for me not reaching certain dreams or aspirations. But the reality was I was a very unorganized person. I was very unorganized in life, meaning I would take a long time to respond to people. I didn't plan my days. I was very unorganized. Like my workspace wasn't good. So I think a lot of that goes back to like my ADHD. I've learned how to work with it. I would say I've learned how to keep like really, truly organization is big for me now.
How has the Best Me journal helped you? And I know that that's our product and I'm not trying to like stick it in there and like, be like, oh, product, like look at this, but has you journaling and writing things down actually helped you?
Yeah. Well, one thing that you deal with ADHD is you have time blindness. So I would overextend myself. Like my to-do list was just crazy all the time. I didn't know where to get like literally start. So I would get paralyzed, right? Procrastination, you start procrastinating. So all of the pages in there were created for that. So like the brain dump has a very particular way of jotting things down and then tackling it, or even just the today page. So simple, right? You just have your three priorities for the day. You break it down. And for me, it helps me visually see, okay, this is the actual time it's going to take me to go to the gym. This is the actual time. Oh, you know what? Date night, we can't make it work today, or maybe we can. And then there's just the other pages like intentions and what I actually want to get done. For me, I think there's so much power in writing things down. And before I was just all talk, so nothing was happening and I would constantly blame it. Haley, I was very unorganized.
Haley, are you 20 or 19?
I'm 20 now.
Okay. What's some advice you would give your 19-year-old self, which was like literally a year ago?
Literally a year ago. Shoot. Stop spending money on dumb stuff. Cause I'm really broke right now.
Okay.
That's really what I would tell myself.
There's some things you spend on that you regret.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Taco Bell too much.
Oh my God. I love Taco Bell. Me too, yeah, girl.
I would tell her to learn how to meal plan a little bit quicker.
That's so real.
Yeah. That's what I would say.
Money management is a whole other thing. That's what I'm saying with organization. It wasn't just my space. It was like everything in life was unorganized. My finances, oh my God, it's awful. I really want to hold that girl's hand because it was awful, guys.
Internally?
I would say probably a big lesson. I think I kind of want to touch on what I want to learn before I'm 30.
Sure.
I'm 23.
Yeah. Sure.
I was going to say like to stop like people pleasing and boundaries. I feel like that's a really, really big one because I've actually met adults. I feel like it's rare, but I've met adults like in their 50s who are really like insecure, really like big people pleasers, have like no boundaries. And I've kind of made excuses for myself because I'm like, oh, I'm still young. Like, I'm still learning. But then I see how some people are and I'm like, I don't want to still
have that
when I'm at that age.
Like, can you give an example? Like, what sort of things are you? Yeah. Like
what scared of letting slide?
Yes.
With this person in particular, what I found a lot was like the treatment that she allowed herself to get by like other people or like men. I want to say like she lets a lot of things slide and she's kind of like oblivious to it and it makes me feel really bad. But I kind of sit there like, wow, I hope that I'm not still in that because I've been oblivious. Like I know what that feels like and I really want to learn how to be stronger in my boundaries so that I'm not, you know, like a fully grown adult woman and I'm still struggling with like
people's treatment of me.
You have to read the book called Boundaries by Melissa Urban. It's so good. She actually gives you scripts on things you can say to like family, friends, or like any even work situations. A lot of the time it's you just feeling confident knowing what to say, you know, or also just knowing that you don't have to say anything in moments like that. It's like, I need time to think about that.
Right.
You know,
like even like the what I told you guys about my boss, like mm-hmm. kind of when she had said that to me, like I just went home and cried. Like mm-hmm. I didn't feel like, you know, how could you, like, why would she say that to me? Like, that's very unprofessional. I felt like, wow, I need to start wearing more makeup. Like, that's how I took it.
I get it.
Instead
get
of being like, no, that's wrong. Why would she talk to me like that? So I don't want to be in my 30s.
Totally.
Still feeling like it's me. You know what I mean?
What you have to do is start exercising that, though, in little moments. Like if something does rub you a little bit the wrong way, seeing how you can confront that person in a kind way, because you can still, like I always say, clarity is kindness. So just making sure you are being clear with the person. Hey, this is how I felt. Always making it about you, using I.
Right.
Here's how I felt. Here's what hurt me. Instead of like, you were this and you said this, now they're going to feel attacked.
Right.
You know? So I think that is really important.
Francely.
I think something that, well, I don't know if like, well, it's just an advice that I think everyone, not everyone, wait, I'm just,
it's okay. What is something in your third, or not in your third? Wait. What is something that you wish you would have learned earlier?
Well, not exactly that, but something that helped me learn a lot of stuff was getting out of my parents' house. So now I live back with them. Mm-hmm. But when I went to college, I lived by myself. I live with roomies, not by myself completely. But it was life changing for real. Like it was, really? it made me mature a lot. It made me like experience stuff that I would never experience if I would live with my parents. Like, I do think that's super necessary in your life. Like, if you have the opportunity to get out of your parents' house, like for college or whatever, I think it's really important because, well, also I'm an only child. So my parents, my mom especially, she would do a lot of things for me. Mm-hmm. And like everyone would say to her like, oh, she needs to learn to do stuff on her own. But it was so difficult for her to do it because it was like her love for me. Mm-hmm. And then when I lived by myself, it was like the attachment from my mom. Like she even started a business because she was like so sad not being with me. And then I started to learn everything. Like I did know how to do stuff before because I wasn't like not doing anything at home. But it's not the same when you go and live by yourself. But it was awesome. Like it was an amazing experience. And also like it helped me a lot. Like even how to deal with people before living by myself. I was kind of like a little bit rude with people. And now I'm like, I know, like, I remember in Mexico, there's like a huge issue, like missing people and all that. And I would always say like to the security guards at my school, like, hello. So they would identify me in case anything would happen to me. I was like, in case anything happens, like they'll remember me, you know? And I was like really nice to them all the time. But there's just like stuff that you learn when you live by yourself and like all those stuff that I do recommend completely like to do.
I think that's great advice. That actually reminds me, your mom was feeling, I think it's called empty nesting. When your kids leave and then you just feel this like emptiness, right? My mom experienced the same thing because I got married. I lived at my parents basically until I got married and so did my sister. And we both got married within the difference of 2 months. So like both of us were gone. When I tell you my mom hated Dennis and hated my husband, my sister's husband, like there was almost like this like, oh, you took my daughters away from me. So I think that's also a very real thing. I know your dad also went through that. If we look at our album of wedding, your dad was depressed
because you're also an only child. It was the worst day of his life.
Yeah, it was the worst. Like obviously they're happy, but I also get it. Like, you know, you love your kids and maybe there's something with like our Colombian parents and you know you're also Latin, so
do either of you guys live alone or have had a moment where you lived alone?
I live with like just girl roommates right now, and this is my second year living like in a college town. And yeah, the first time when I got dropped off, like the first night a year ago, when my mom dropped me off and she left and I was just like alone in Orlando, I literally threw up because I was so like stressed. I was like, aww, what am I gonna do? But I got over it. Now I'm loving it. I love living alone. And I hope to not have to move back in, but I don't know. We'll see. But I like living alone. I think it's taught me a lot.
That's good.
I went to FSU before in Tallahassee, and I was there maybe for like one semester, and then I came back.
Really?
Yeah. Because yeah. I just like, I couldn't.
Too homesick.
I didn't, yeah.
The living alone?
Yeah. I mean, I had some roommates, but it wasn't the same. And also Tallahassee is so much different than Orlando. Mm-hmm. So it just felt like super homesick. You know what I mean?
No,
I've been
that.
Here my whole life. So I was just like, no, I got
to
go back.
When we left to LA, we were homesick too from our parents, yeah. Right? And we were already married.
What's something that you've learned living alone? Like going off of that topic, like when you left your parents, how were you versus how you are now?
I'm more organized. I know I keep saying that, but my mom, I was so unorganized, you guys. My mom would say nobody was going to marry me because I was so unorganized. She was like, no man is going to accept this. Like I literally got, when I tell you, you wouldn't even believe how I didn't care. I was, here's goes this, here goes that. I don't care. Oh, you called me. I don't remember. Like I was so unorganized. So I learned everything. You know, I learned everything in this marriage.
The funny thing is when I was with my parents, I'm like friend said, I didn't have to do anything. I didn't wash my clothes. I didn't make food. I didn't do anything. They would do everything for me. They would make the bed or whatever. And then like, I knew once I got married, like I knew how Natalie was. And so I was like, I'm going to have to do everything. I'm going to have to clean. I'm going to have to wash bathrooms and stuff.
It was bad.
And you know, I feel like
we've learned a lot,
spread the work out amongst 100%. Each other now.
But I do think that's a bad thing. And I think it's Hispanic parents do that to their kids. They are so loving that they do everything for them that unless you've lived alone, like Franceli said, you go in not knowing a lot. And yeah. That happened to me.
But the problem is also like, I think it's like, okay, yeah, I'm moving out tomorrow, but I can program and use a washing machine.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
but it's not about the knowledge. It's about the desire to do it because you haven't done it. It's a habit.
Yeah.
It's a habit that you haven't formed.
But you got to snap out of that quickly. Like once you live alone, it's like, okay, if I don't wash my clothes, they're not getting washed. Like they need to be washed because then are they just going to lie around?
Yeah.
And then on top of washing, you got to dry them, put them away, which a lot of people hate doing, which it stays in the dryer for like ever. Right.
I kind of want to give our kids chores.
Oh
yeah. I think it's important.
Really?
I really do. And I want to give them their own money so they can learn how to manage a little bit.
I do think chores are really important mm-hmm. because like
really?
You need to like it's being an
helpful.
Adult, like a functional person, mm-hmm. you know, because like not all life someone else is going to be doing stuff.
I do
for
think
you,
that so there's a balance. Like you can't treat your child like, oh, you're my butler. Go get me a beer.
I'm
go,
not going
to
put
this.
Them in the military or anything.
No,
it's not going to be like that.
I understand that. But it's the level of chores that they do as they age that starts to change. Like,
sure.
There's no way you can tell them. Go mow the lawn. Like
no,
mowing the
I
lawn for me feels like
it.
An adult chore. I don't know how many I sometimes drive and I see these poor little kids pushing these like manual lawnmowers.
You're going to like the other extreme. Like that only yeah. just said like
but,
chores.
But Franceli, yeah. mowing the lawn is a very American chore.
That's true.
For
so you know how to
children.
Do that.
Yes.
But she's not a child.
Take the trash out.
Yeah.
You know,
well, if you're in your 20s, I think you can do that.
No, we're like, talking about 14, 15 year olds doing chores. What is the chore? And
okay,
what defines
for me,
it?
Like, what do I want? Okay. You get up, you make your bed, make your own
that's
bed.
That's not a chore.
Well, to me,
that's life skill.
But okay, maybe it is a lot. You're right. So I want them to learn life skills. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to fully wash your plate, but put your plate.
Life skill.
And okay. What else? I want them to be a kid. I want them to obviously do afternoon activities, do all the good stuff. So what is a chore then to you?
Chore is like work, like
work,
do, like big things that'll consume an hour, like wash everybody's clothes.
Okay. That's, like, that's child labor. Like,
yeah.
No, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it depends on the age, right? Like if you're in your 20s and you can wash all clothes, like of your parents and stuff. Like, I don't think that's, like, I think it depends
I don't
on
like that,
the
though.
Age you are.
Do you guys
really?
Have chores? And, like, what are some chores? Give me examples of chores you guys
I
do.
I mean, I live home. I live by myself. But when I was...
She's like, I give myself the chores.
I have to. It's hard. When I was living with my mom and everything, no. Like, honestly, I will say, like, my grandma also lives in the house, so that's even more help because she's retired. So what she can do all day, she cooks and she cleans all day. But yeah. I will say, once I turned like 12, my mom was like, "I'm not doing your laundry anymore. Like, you know how to do this." So I will say, like, that was, I guess, a chore. But I feel like I was just
so you did your own laundry.
Yeah,
you didn't do anyone else's laundry.
No. Yeah, I don't think that's right. Yeah.
Okay,
everyone else is doing. Everyone's is crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Did you have an allowance?
No, not really. No.
So you were like, "I'm going to go to the movies. Can you give me money?"
Yeah. But then I, as soon as I could work, like at 15, I got a job at Chick-fil-A. But yeah, oh, really? Before that, yeah,
my parents wouldn't let me work.
Really? No.
They said school was my work.
No, my mom made me. She said, like, "You need to get a job." I was like, "I do want to get a job because I want to spend money." And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah.
I think that's okay too.
My parents were always like, "Don't get a work because I can just buy anything you want." That's kind of like what that's they would so say. Sweet.
Yeah, I think that's okay. But if my child wants to work, go work. Go get some experience. I think it is important.
Hustle culture.
Well, how do we get here?
Natalie? Hustle. Well, I do. Oh,
Fantelli, go ahead.
I do think, like, for example, me. I live with my parents. Like, I have a job. I also pay some stuff at home. Like, it's not like me only living there.
Yeah.
Like, if my mom sometimes cooks for me, why can I, like, do stuff for them, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Like, I do think, like, you're in your 20s. Come on. You can, like, clean the house and, like, do the laundry of everyone if you have the time to do it. Like, my mom does a lot of stuff for me, so why would it not do it? Like, right now, it's because I'm in my 20s, probably, like, but I do think it's like you can help out your parents too. Like, they're also human beings.
I
they're
agree
not
with that.
Gonna be a, do everything for you.
Is this a gender thing?
No.
No.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Okay, Natalie.
Wait, what do you mean?
Hold on. Intern Natalie.
I want to understand.
And then because it is. But right. Intern Natalie.
It is.
I want to say
maybe
no.
Maybe that's my idea, but cue guard.
Because, like, I agree with what Francelli is saying, but I don't have that same experience at all. I'm kind of like, no, I'm just like Dennis. Mm-hmm. They, like, have been making my, that's so embarrassing to be on a podcast, but, like, I don't do shit. Like, sorry. Like, for real, it's embarrassing, guys. Sorry. But no, it's true. Like, they do everything. It's also what Haley said. I have two grandmas living there, though. My whole life, I've had two retired grandmas. Wow. So it's like, they need to, this sounds bad, but they need to keep busy.
No, but they, it's a cycle of life.
No, but they want to keep busy, and that's what they like to do. So it's like, you don't even have anything left to do. Mm. Like, they're sitting at home all day.
Do you think they really like it? You should ask them today.
That's like a good question. I'm
Grandma,
ask
do you
that.
Really like doing this? No, girl. I'd rather be shopping with you. I'd rather be doing.
Now
no,
you need true. To be like, is there something I can take off your plate? What can I help you with? And so that I can continue to do that. And I know that it sucks.
Me, oh God.
And I personally wouldn't do that, but you can do that.
No, it's true. So like I said, I agree with what Francelia is saying because they do help out a lot. It's not like I would refuse. It's just that I'm so like accustomed to having two grandmas there, my mom, my dad, my brother. It's like everything is full. Like,
but explain the gender thing. I don't understand the question.
I might be wrong here. And this is like based on culture and just knowing, like, just, I don't know, just worldly things. Hispanic men tend to not do chores.
Are lazy.
Yes. That's what I've heard, experienced, seen, you know, okay. And beyond that, it's kind of like, okay, they go do like intensive labor, like work, construction, let's say. Let's say they do that. They come home. Oh, the food's ready. Right. And then what do they do after that? Watch soccer. Lay on the couch, put their feet up and just lay there and then go to sleep and then go to work again. And like, it's like a constant thing. And so, but that also is like, okay, what if the wife works? Is she expected to work and do house chores? How would they spread that amongst each other? You know, that's difficult because then it's unfair because at that point they're both working jobs and only one is expected to do the home things, right?
That's how it is, though.
Yeah,
like in Mexico, there's like like families. The mom works, the dad works, and then the mom also has to do other stuff like at home, and it's awful. Like it sucks. Like I hate that, but it's like the sexist culture, and I do think like my mom has. like, even I didn't do stuff at home until I moved by myself. Not much stuff. She taught me a lot of stuff. And maybe she taught me that stuff because I'm a girl. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it would be if I was a guy. But I don't know. She always, all my life, she has told me, like, I never raised you to be ama de casa. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's the word.
Housewife.
A housewife. Mm-hmm. I'm raising you to be like a girl with her like degree and like working, like doing other stuff, because she always says to me, like, I was raised that way. I was raised to be a housewife. Totally. So I don't want that for you. So I do think it's really like I live it at home. Like both of my parents work and my mom does a lot of the chores. So it's kind of like, that's why
it creates anger.
It is. Yeah.
I was always scared to move to Colombia for that reason, because it's just ingrained in the culture. It's not even like they see wrong from right. It's just, that's what's been generations ago. Right. I remember going to all of your aunt's house and, they were shocked that I was sitting down. I had my own plate and I hadn't grabbed you a plate. And mm-hmm. I'm like, he's got legs. Like, what's going on here? Then they were shocked that I didn't pick up your plate. And like, it's not that I'm not okay with doing that, but I do believe in somewhat equal roles. And I think mm-hmm. you've understood that about me. But when I go to Colombia, I get so angry, because it's like, why has it got to be like that? I just absolutely hate it. I hate it.
It's just a construct, cultural construct.
It makes me so mad.
Oh man, I was going to go somewhere.
Because women have so much potential to also be the businessman or do the other things, and you're not giving them the opportunity because they're so busy doing this. Not every woman wants to do that too.
That's where I'm going. Yeah. Okay. Wait. I feel like trad wife culture is starting to grow again.
It is, right? Isn't it?
And it goes with complacency. It actually fits this podcast really well because of the whole 24/7 versus 9-to-5. You know, it's like being a mother, how much, you know, taking care of children goes into it. It goes into like, can you work if you are a mom, all the chores. It's just time. Time is everything. And it's like, okay, do I value making money, spending time with kids, doing these other things, right? Like trad wife culture is going up. And then like the entrepreneurial woman who goes and seeks and to become a CEO is starting to go down. Do you guys have a reason or a thought as to why that might be happening?
I think it's and not necessarily politically speaking, but I think it's a conservative point of view. I actually feel like people, and I don't view it as a win nor a loss, because at the end of the day, like everybody,
it's what you want.
Exactly. But I think I kind of feel like that's what society kind of wants to re-explore. Like that idea of, okay, well, let's try this again. Like, you know what I mean?
I think, oh, sorry. Mm. No,
no, go ahead, please.
No, were you still talking? Sorry, mm-hmm. Natalie.
Oh, no.
I think it's kind of controversial, but I do think this is going on because we're kind of in a recession and housewives are free labor. So like, basically this is like a huge topic, but like, that's how capitalism works. Mm-hmm. The mother stays at home. She takes care of the kids. Because there's also like other families that like the parents work, and then the kids, like they pay to get like daycare or stuff like that, you know? But like, I do think now, since we're like, there's like a recession almost everywhere, that's why this is coming back, because there's not enough money to do that anymore. Like, it's just so complicated. I do think it's like free labor.
Well, that goes into Neo, the robot.
That does. That was a topic that I was actually going to skip over. But we could talk about it if you want to. I do want Haley's point of view, because she's very adamant over there. She's like shaking and moving. And I want to know what Haley's thoughts are.
I'm super big on like, you got to make your own name for yourself before you even think about like having. I don't know. I know everyone's different, but I always see these videos of divorce lawyers on TikTok talking about how many 40 to 50 year old women they see that come in their office crying, like, I've known this man my whole life. He's taken care of me my whole life. He cheated on me or he died. And now they're 40 and 50 years old, no work experience, no career. All they've done is stay at home and work for this man their whole life. And he either cheated on her, left her, or died. And so I just feel like it's important to kind of make a name for yourself before, or like before depending it on someone else. Even like same thing for a man. Like, don't have a house. Don't have, like, don't be, like, the, like, I don't know. It doesn't have to, you have to be a woman to depend on someone, a man to, like, make your own name before looking for a wife, you know?
I like that, yeah.
That's happening a lot in Colombia, actually.
What is?
People who were housewives or guys who never, like, pursued a career, kind of, like, got along with their parents, never moved out, kind of, like, grew with them. Parents die.
Oh.
Right? So, in that case, there's a guy who has no life skills. No abilities, no degree, and is old, right? And there's a woman who's old, whose husband maybe dies, right? Latin America is going through something called ageism, where if you're too old, they're not going to hire you because they don't believe you'll catch on, like old dog, new tricks, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You won't learn fast enough as a younger person. You won't be able to lift things, do things. You're more at risk of falling, of getting hurt, of suing, of complaining, of doing all these other things, right? And so if your resume comes in and there's a younger person who's applying and they have a degree and they have more life skills, then they're going to win. And that's a Latin America issue. Like, that's going on right now. I don't know if we're going to experience that here ever, but here it's like, you're older, you got to be more experienced. It's kind of expected. Right over there, it's like, okay, you're old. Prove to me that you are experienced. They mm-hmm. kind of have a little bit of skepticism because there are older people who just go to el parque, lay down, sit in front play of the chess. Church, play chess, like don't do anything. And like life goes on and they never really like, you know, did something.
In Mexico, there's actually like age limits in a lot of jobs. Like you wow. can't apply if you're older than that. Than that age. I actually thought that was something that it was everywhere, but now that you're talking about it, I guess it's not. But like in Mexico, it's super common. Like you like when you're applying to a job, there's sometimes age limits, like, oh, you have to be in your 20s or wow. you have to be in your 30s or you can't be older. Usually they don't hire you if you're older than 35.
So I have a today I learned that wasn't in my script, but I just popped into my mind. So in Japan, there's always one position that's reserved for someone who does nothing. They're just an old person who they keep at the company, who maybe worked there for a long time, but at that point doesn't do anything. And they just hold them out of respect, which is very interesting to me because they're at an age where they could have let them go or fired a long time, but they're just kind of like.
Japan has seniority. There. Yeah.
Yeah.
They really play off that. Doesn't matter if you're the best, like if you haven't been there for years and years.
I do think age limit is important, especially in politics. But that's a topic that is like way out there. But I feel like you start to lose grasp of what society is really experiencing if you're too old, right?
Like it's got to be sad.
Your lock screen. What is your passcode? 11111. 00000. I'm old. I can't remember these numbers. Oh, national security is on my phone. Like you need an actual passcode. Like that's unsafe.
So do you feel like older people don't bring in a new perspective? Because I think they do.
No, progressive ideas tend to be young. Mm. The only old guy is Bernie Sanders, and he's the only progressive idea that I can think of. But young people are willing to risk it for change. Old people are afraid. They want things to stay the same because they've been fine the whole time. So why would I want things to change?
I don't know if I agree with that.
That's just kind of what the outlook of it is usually. There are old people out there who are hippies who are like, hey, hippie movement, hippie mentality. Like, let's go, let's change, revolutionary, right? But it's very rare. And they're kind of outcasts and seen as weirdos, right? At their age being that way.
I would hate to not be able to be in a position because of my age. I feel like that's wrong.
Well, okay.
I'll give you an example.
It does suck.
Well, it's a bit more like Hollywood, but one of my friends was auditioning for roles and they were like, you're just too old. Like you just don't play the part. We're looking for like a 19, 18, 17.
It used to be the opposite. Power Rangers were playing high schoolers and they were 30. They were looking for older people to fit the role. And then young people looked at them as like, I need to be like them, but they're older. So it's like these age things aren't working. Yo, what up, fellow kids? Like that meme with the guy with the skateboard. Like there are people playing high schoolers and they're 25, 26. Like they're not an actual high schooler. Go get a real, like.
So you think that's wrong?
Stranger Things was really cool because Stranger Things pick kids who were the age of what they were supposed to be. And they're growing as the show goes on. And now this next season, we're going to see them the correct age of what they're doing. That's awesome. That's so cool. You know, Adventure Time is the first cartoon that he aged as the seasons went by. Simpsons are the same. The Simpsons never aged. Like, how is that even possible?
It's a cartoon.
Yeah, but
it's meant to be fun.
Yes, but it's cool to see something like that. Like, Finn experienced different things, different seasons, and experienced love and stuff, you know?
I think there's better laws in place for kids now, too. But doesn't that leave an area where kids can be taken advantage of? Because you're just a child, and therefore you don't know how much is too much to work. And
didn't the Olsen twins get like super popular from that one show when they were like twins and they were babies?
Full House.
Full House. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Full House. I miss Mary Kate and Ashley. They were iconic.
Anyways, I do want to mention Neo. You kind of touched it for a moment, but basically there's this AI robot that's out there who's, you know, people can pay and can do chores. Does all your chores, all of them. It's like this autonomous thing.
Just think of a robot, like actually this is a dude. Right,
yeah, here. It's like this creepy robot. I've
seen it.
Someone is connected to it via a VR headset somewhere and they're like walking through your house and doing your chores.
I don't think that's right. Let's fact check that. I don't think that's correct.
There's only, so
that's kind of lame.
After you told me about this concept, I researched it again and there's only two things that it can do without someone with a VR headset. Grab a plate or a cup from your hand and put it in the dishwasher or go and open the door. Those are the only two things that it can do without the VR headset.
No, you're correct. It says if you want them to do something complicated like clean the bathroom or vacuum, you'll have to let a 1X employee wear a VR headset remotely to access the body and cameras to assist with training.
So it's basically a housekeeper. That's a remote housekeeper.
And it's $20,000 a year.
Natalie.
Can it hurt you? Can it harm you? If it can do those things, it can harm you.
People are scared about that. People are afraid of that for real. Yeah. I don't know. I get that it's, how do I say this? I'm kind of for it, honestly.
Look, I really like our Roomba. When our Roomba was like active and doing its thing downstairs, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Haley.
Okay, but like what's not stopping someone from hacking into your little robot in the middle of the night and literally grabbing a knife, walking to your room and killing you? It takes one bad hacker.
Yeah. Everybody in the comments talking about iRobot, like the end of the world, like, oh, they're going to attack us and all these things. Like, it's crazy. Yeah,
it could be scary, but I do think I'm excited for this sort of innovation. Like, just imagine if you could have somebody, like, what would you do with that extra time, guys? Like, that is just amazing.
Well, I did have some things here that I was going to ask you about that, right? So are we actually saving time or just finding new ways to fill it with more work? Right?
No, it's just to decide the autonomy of your time. I think that's what it is, what it comes down to. Instead of having to do this, now I'm going to do this.
If all the chores disappeared tomorrow, would we actually rest or would we just use that space to squeeze in more productivity? So I don't know.
I would rest.
You would rest?
Yeah, I would rest, take a little vacay, do something fun or work. But so long as I'm the one deciding what I do with my time, I think that's great. That's a win.
I think it's really great that the robot can do all that, but maybe we can make what we have work better. Like there's that new device that's a washer and a dryer simultaneously, that's and then amazing. It'll switch to dryer Come at on. The end.
That's amazing.
Like that's cool. That's innovative. It makes things better. You still got to do it, but it can cut down time. Dishwashers. How many people don't use their dishwasher? Right? And it saves water and all these things. Yeah.
All the Latins.
A lot of Latin people just use it as an extra drawer to save, to put their plates away.
I'm the only one using the dishwasher. Really? I'm like, yeah. I love it. I'm like, Mom, I'm not washing the dishes. If you want to wash them, wash them. I'm going to put them inside of the dishwasher. I'm not washing.
And they're all hand washing with their Palmolive or like the Dawn dish soap. And they're like, look, this is clean so much better. You're wasting so much water. Anyways. That's the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can listen to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts every Friday at 4 p.m.
Eastern time. Make sure you leave us a review. We love your reviews. We've gotten some sassy ones, but we'll take them all.
Yes. The reviews, all the comments, bring them in. Give us a 5-star review, please. Por favor. And also check out Offline Humans for your Best Me journals and Offline Humans, the book. Thank you guys for your support. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Goodbye. Bye.